Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
America's largest all-sports radio station presents the number one motorsports show for over two decades, Track Talk, brought to you by Rod and Supply and the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Here are the racing boys, Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Got a good show lined up for you today. We've got Mike Marler on, Jacob Allen, Chase Rodman, and man, these are great interviews that we did on Monday on Mostly Motorsports, and we can't wait for you to hear them. Kirk, how you doing, bud? You doing all right?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm getting ready for a big day.
I just want to let everybody know that on Monday on Mostly Motorsports, we are going to have the World of Outlaw CEO, Brian Carter, is going to be on, and we're going to talk about the World Racing Group acquires ASCS. What do you think about that, Kurt?
That is big news yesterday, and you had talked about that over the last several shows, that the World Racing Group was in the process of purchasing the ASCS with a lot of things going on inside the ASCS organization. And Emmett Hahn and the Hahn family, founder of the ASCS, has made the deal with the World Racing Group. And that is huge news that broke out yesterday. Yep. That deal has been completed. And I think that's good news. That's good news.
You know, what I'm really wanting to see out of the World of Outlaws and inquiring ASCS, I'm hoping they keep it 360s, don't you, Kirk?
Yeah, I don't think we really know yet for sure what the plan is with the ASCS long term, but I think they understand that 360 racing. Of course, you know, World Racing Group, the World of Outlaws, all about 410 racing.
Right.
But you still need
a feeder series.
I still think you need the ASCS as the 360 division in order to, they use the word ecosystem of sprint car races. I think 360 racing still a very important part of sprint car racing in the grand scheme of things. And I hope they keep it as a 360 series, but I don't think we really know what their long-term future plans are.
The long-term aspect of this thing is that there's 1,300 360 cars around the country. I think it would be foolish if they were to make that into a 410 series. Would you?
Well, it's just 410 racing is has made a comeback. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's bigger now than it was even 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. The cost of sprint car racing used to be 360 sprint car racing was a lot less expensive than 410 racing. I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
It's not the case.
No. And so the cost factor has narrowed between 360 and 410 sprint car racing, but I still believe that there is a place for 360 sprint car racing, and that's what the ASCS brand was built on, was 360 racing. And, yeah, I agree with you, but I'm not sure that's what the long-term plan of the World Racing Group is. We'll just have to wait and see.
You know, when the problem came between the two of them, the reason that the engines become closer in price is when the Ford motor came in.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
When Ford got into the game, they was charging $55,000 for these motors, and And that's why people started to increase the price of the 410 motors as well, because they were so close on price range that some people just decided to go 410 racing, you know?
Now, the immediate plan for the ASCS under the World Racing Group is to keep it a 360 series. To start this year, they've got the season opener coming up at RPM Speedway March 15th and 16th. And the ASCS is still going to be a major part of the 360 Knoxville Nationals coming up in August. So it's going to start out as a 360 series. I hope it stays that way.
I do, too.
But the biggest point of emphasis that they talked about in the press release that they came out with yesterday is the regional racing concept is an important part of what their future plans are. So whether it's 410 or 360 in the future, the regional racing concept is a big component of what the ASCS has brought, and that's what the World Racing Group wants to continue doing, is the regional racing aspect.
Do you think there's any play, Kirk, with the High Limit Series and ASCS becoming a 410 series and that them competing against the High Limit Series? Do you think that's a play right there? Do you have any idea on that?
Well, obviously, you know, with the All-Star Series being sold to the High Limit, that creates a void of that type of a series as a feeder series, even for 410 racing.
Right.
That's gone now. We don't have the All-Star Series anymore. And I think that there is a place for that regional type series. We've got two competing national touring series now, the High Limit Series and the World of Outlaws, but we don't have what we used to know as the All-Star Series. So that is very important, and I'm not surprised a bit that the World Racing Group wants that product to help be a feeder to the national series.
But most of the drivers that run with the All-Stars are running with the High Limit Series, correct?
Right, but there are some that are not.
Right.
And with the way the High Limit Series started out their plan, we saw 17 drivers commit to running full-time. Now, you and I both know that not all of those drivers are going to finish the series running full-time. The way they've got that set up is the top five in points will earn a charter with the High Limit Series. So a lot of that drew a lot of people in to run full-time to go for that. But if you're not among the high point earners in the High Limit Series about mid-season, I think you're going to be seeing a lot of these guys drop off the full-time tour. And they're not going to California until August.
Right.
And how many of those full-timers that committed to the High Limit Series are going to still be around by the time they make that trip out to the West Coast?
They go to Thunderbowl, King Speedway, Placerville, Silver Dollar Speedway, and then they go up to Douglas County Dirt Track. I've never heard of that place. And Grays Harbor Raceway, Skagit Speedway, and that's all out on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Kirk. If some guys are not in the points battle at the end of the year, I look for them to peel off and go somewhere else. What do you think?
I agree with that. So, but I can understand why so many committed to running full-time in the High Limit, because that carrot is out there. If you finish in the top five, you get a charter with the High Limit Series.
Right.
That's a big deal.
And on May 3rd and 4th, they're going to be racing the High Limit Series out at Lakeside Speedway as well.
Yeah.
So
prior to that, the World of Outlaws is going to be at US 36 Raceway.
And they're going to be at I-70 on June 7th and 8th, and also at I-70 on October 8th as well.
So it's going to be interesting to hear from Brian Carter on Monday on Mostly Motorsports, and he'll give us a little bit more of an idea of what their future plans are with the ASCS series and, you know, what their goals are. Right now, we're just kind of speculating on the future of 360 racing with the World Racing Group, and will ASCS continue to be 360? I hope so.
I hope so,
but I think Brian Carter will be able to give us a little bit more of an idea of what their long-term goals are with this series coming up on Monday's show.
Yep, no doubt about it. Kirk, other news that we have found out is that we all know that Brian Hobart is going to be going over to USAC as the announcer over there. So.
Yep. Full-time announcer for USAC, and they'll be picking it back up here in a couple of weeks.
Do you think there's any chance that Brian Hobart, now that the World Racing Group has purchased ASCS, do you think there's a possibility that Brian might backtrack and take the ASCS job?
No, I don't see that happening. He's committed to the USAC guy now, so... No, I don't foresee that happening.
I see there's a possibility that could happen.
You do?
Yeah.
No,
absolutely.
He's committed to USAC. I think that's where he's going to be. So he's still helping out with the publicity with the ASCS. We noticed
he's writing the press releases.
Kept everything up to date. Noah Gass wins the ASCS Elite Outlaw feature event last night down at Red Dirt Raceway in Meeker, Oklahoma. That's a 410 event. Gas beats Ayrton Jennetton, Sam Haferteep Jr., and Dominic Selzy to the line with Jason Martin coming home in fifth place. It says 410 racing, but isn't that a 360?
What's that, USCS?
The ASCS Elite Region.
Yep.
On the results, they listed it as a 410 series. So, but... Jason Martin was down there last night. He's a 360 car, right?
Right, no doubt.
We'll check on that just to make sure if that what that was. Was that 410 or was that 360? I'm confused because the results on my race pass listed as 410 series. I didn't see video of that race last night, so if somebody can fill us in on that and clarify that. We know Sam runs both 360 and 410. Jason Martin's a 360 driver, but Dominic Selzy, we've seen him run both 410 and 360. Ayrton Jennetton the same. Noah Gass, basically a 410 guy. But when you say ASCS and Elite Region, it's got to be 360, doesn't it?
Right, it has to be.
Yeah,
right.
So, but anyway, I was confused when I saw the results on my race pass. It listed it as 410. So. We'll try to get clarification on that. Hey, they flipped a couple of modifieds last night down at Texas Rocket Raceway Park. Very fast racetrack. USMTS opening night of a two-night weekend doubleheader. Second weekend for the USMTS. Pretty wild night at Rocket Raceway Park, especially when you take into consideration that one of the guys that got upside down was one of the winners from last weekend, Jason Hughes. Looked like Carlos Amata Jr. and Terry Phillips got pinched up into the wall, and Jason Hughes had nowhere to go, and he barrel-rolled that car. And we had another modified get upside down later in the race. Amata Jr. rolled his race car all alone. But it was a local guy that came up with the feature victory last night at Rocket Raceway Park, and his name is Jack Sarton from Royce City, Texas, started 13th and beat Gary Christian to the line. Terry Phillips ended up third. Dan Ebert came from 20th to 4th, and Tanner Mullins 5th. And they'll have another night of racing down there at Rocket. And, Scott, we're looking forward to next weekend. It is the King of America at Humboldt Speedway, and if we get this kind of weather continuing, it's going to be a spectacular weekend at Humboldt next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for one of the crown jewels of all of dirt modified racing, the King of America.
Yep, no doubt about
it. Dan Ebert is the defending winner of that race, too, by the way.
Dan Ebert is, right?
He had a good run last night.
Where'd he end up finishing?
Started 20th, ended up 4th behind Terry Phillips. Mm. So,
hey, the comments are saying that was a 410 elite race.
That was 410. Okay.
There's a bunch of comments.
Well, I'm confused. You see ASCS and you see 410. That doesn't jive with me. So we have confirmed that was a 410 race.
By more than one person in the comment section has said that. We appreciate everybody. We got over 50 people on Facebook with us today, and we appreciate you guys with all the comments. And,
We got great listeners out there.
Great listeners out there.
They'll set us straight.
And I believe tonight they're going to be racing down at Kennedale tonight, right?
What race is that? Is that a 410?
I'm just seeing what Paul said. He just said that they're going to be racing down at Kennedale tonight.
Blake Hahn going to be down there?
Yeah, he's going to be down there.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll be watching. The other big news last night in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, Raja Carruth wins his first ever in the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. And I've been hard on this series. Daytona was not a good race. The last race of the year at Phoenix last year was not a good race. But I got to say, Atlanta last weekend and Las Vegas last night, much better. I thought it was an entertaining race last night.
Yeah, last night
and
was good.
And Raja Carruth coming through with the win.
Yeah, good to see somebody new in victory lane. And
right.
I mean,
a new driver.
Yeah, when you see somebody new in there, there's always the jubilation that you get from someone that.
Is that his first win, Kurt?
First win.
Yeah. Like you said, it was everybody.
For Spire.
Was,
he drives for Spire
Motorsports. That's right.
And his teammate, Kyle Busch, won last week.
He's wearing a Hendrick Cars.com suit.
Yep. They've got that sponsorship on that car, but that's a Spire truck. And I think he's going for the championship this year, is he not?
I didn't see that, but I do know that, I mean, if you picked up a win this early in the year, I'm going for the championship. I'm going to sign the guy up for more than one race if he's not committed to everything. But, man, I know that there was a lot of good racing, you know, compared to week one of the truck series. So they've been redeeming themselves over the last couple weeks. So.
Yeah, last night was a good race.
It was. I saw a lot of the highlight. I didn't get to watch it live. I tuned in as soon as it was over, but I saw all the highlight and then the repeat of it later on. Boy, it was a good race.
I thought Kyle Busch was going to have a strong, but he got penalized.
He did. What was that about? I didn't understand that.
Had a tire
because I didn't.
Away.
Oh, is that what it was? See, I didn't watch the race.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
So I mean that cost Kyle Busch. He ended up 15th. So, but I thought he led a lot of the early laps of that race. Tyler Ankrum finishing in second, Corey Heim third, Taylor Gray and Christopher Bell running the race last night ended up in fifth place.
All right.
Today, the Xfinity Series, Sunday Cup Series, and how about that three-wide race at Atlanta last Sunday? Three-wide photo finish with Daniel Suarez beating Ryan Blaney and Kyle Busch to the line. How about that finish?
That was maybe the best finish I've ever seen.
It's going to be tough to beat that.
Maybe.
It's going to be tough to top that back-to-back weeks.
Three cars come across the start-finish line side-by-side. That was a great finish.
It was a great
We've
finish.
Seen a two-wide photo finish before, right. But have you ever seen a three-wide photo finish?
I've never seen that before. No, I haven't. And, again, just so you know, we are going to have the World of Outlaws CEO on. Brian Carter is going to be on with us on Monday on Mostly Motorsports, and we're going to get a lot of questions in with him on Monday. And I appreciate Brian Carter coming on the show with us. It's going to be an interesting show on Monday. Mostly Motorsports. It starts at 12 noon Central Time. It goes to 2 o'clock, and we'll be taking care of Brian. Brian's never said no to us.
No, he's a great guy.
He's always been available for us.
And that's in the midst of a big two-night race weekend for the World of Outlaws at Volusia Speedway Park this weekend.
Monday
Spike
and Tuesday.
Week down there. And Sunday and Monday night.
Sunday and Monday.
Sunday and Monday night, they're racing the World of Outlaws down at Volusia. So we'll get his take on how things are going so far.
It's
kind of
odd.
End of the season.
Isn't it Sunday and Monday?
Yeah, but that, I guess the way Bike Week is laid out, it kind of coincides with the schedule going on over at Daytona with the bikes over there. So
yeah, Bike Week is full underway right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can, there's a TV show that Live PD and Ron Patrol Live, I believe is what it's called now. And they were in Daytona last night, and let me just tell you, it's going on down in Daytona right now.
Yeah, and of course, big day for yours truly and the CARB Hall of Fame inductees. That event is going on later this afternoon at 4 o'clock out at the George Mayan Center out in Bonner Springs, out by Kansas Speedway. Doors open at 3. and the program at 4. We're going to have J.D. Cormack, who is one of the inductees, on a little bit later on in the show to talk about it. So, big day.
And we're Hall of Fame. We're thinking about our old buddy Lloyd Collins as well.
Yeah, we talked. You and I both talked to Lloyd the other night.
Yep.
And he's going in for his treatments this
weekend. At MU, right?
Yeah. So we're praying. Folks, say your prayers. Lloyd is part of our family. He's part of our family.
You know, I talked to Lloyd the other day, and Lloyd said that he would come in the studio with us.
Oh yeah.
On one day, and he said he'd come in the studio with us and hang out with us.
He's got a lot of stories to tell.
Be just like old times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And for those of you that are relatively new listeners, Lloyd was a regular part of our show back in the early 2000s. I want to say from 01, 05, somewhere in there.
Something like
after
that. Yeah.
So Lloyd had come in.
He was in every day with us.
For many years.
Yeah, many years.
He came in every week. And, you know, we're still great friends with Lloyd. That's not ever changed.
Right.
You and I both talk to Lloyd all
the
time.
He's like a brother to us, right?
He is.
Yeah.
And, you know, anybody that's been around the MLRA series and are familiar with his photography, he's been a track series photographer for many, many years.
And he's been an official for MLRA as well.
Yeah. So I know, you know, everybody knows Lloyd, the merman. So
no doubt.
Thinking about you, Lloyd, if you're tuned in. You know, we just want to send out our prayers to you, and I know he's got a lot of friends out there praying for him, too. So.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Track Talk here this morning on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We will be back. It's all brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. When we come back, Mike Marler is going to join us next here on Track Talk. Welcome back. It's Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod and Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Kirk, we had a chance to talk to Mike Marler.
Yeah, he won a big race last Saturday night down at Golden Isle Raceway. It was part of that sprint car late model combo event. Jacob Allen won the sprint cars, and Mike Marler, $20,000. To win the late model feature race last Saturday night, and on Monday's Mostly Motorsports show, we talked to Mikey about his big win.
Congratulations on that win, man. That picking up that $20,000 wasn't a bad deal, was it?
No, sir. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I enjoy being on the show every time, and fun to talk to you guys. But, yeah, it's good to come off a win, and Being the last one, one's fun too. So it's definitely a cool night for us.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about that win. You were pretty dominant during that race, weren't you? I know that Brandon Shepherd gave you a little pressure there at the end, but how did you feel? Did the car take a little rubber there at the end of the race?
It did. Yeah, the first part of the race, huh? There, Chris Madden got the lead, and I was a little better than he was at on corner exit, so I got by him, and then Shep was really gunning hard, you know, because I think, you know, we were all racing really hard early because we thought it could rubber at the end, you know, and so we were hustling to stay in the lead, and Shep was running me pretty hard, and then we got into lap traffic there, and was going pretty good, and then I got kind of boxed in and lost some momentum, and Shep passed me, and just luckily in the next corner he got a little bit tight, and I got back under him and cleared him back. And after that it was I just tried to stay in front of him, you know. And there at the end of the race, it was pretty well rubbered on the bottom. So that's kind of a typical thing of you know, the Speed Weeks tops racetracks. A lot of times they get too dry, they'll rubber up on, you know, around the bottom. So that's kind of how it ended.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike, what were you thinking when Shep did get by? You're thinking, oh, my God, I lost my chance here, but you were able to get by. Just talk about making that move to get back by him for the lead for the final time.
Yeah, it's, you know, outside of the car watching, you know, from the infield or whatever, you think, you know, why didn't the guy just get a little lower, or why didn't he get a little higher, or whatever he needed to have done. And when you're in the car, there's a lot of times you want to be where you want to be, but if you took a big rock and put on them a rope and slung it around over top of your head, you know, like you was roping a horse or something, you just got that momentum loading the car so hard laterally that a lot of times you can't get, you know, to the part of the track you want to get to, you know. And
yep.
And I was struggling to try to get kind of where the grip was, and I kept drifting out of it. And so whenever he got around me, then the air kind of done him the same way, and he arrowed a little bit and shoved over, and I was able to get turned. And the biggest thing was when he passed me, you know, a lot of times when they pass you, if you don't lose your composure and you make the next corner perfect, you can, you know, with their momentum kind of carrying them up the racetrack, you can, you know, when they pass you, they're obviously going faster, right? So then they may be, a lot of times they'll overshoot the corner. So if you back up your corner and do it right, a lot of times you can get it back. And luckily, just from experience, I kind of knew that, okay, don't freak out here, this ain't good. And then sure enough, I backed up my corner and got the car turned right and got in the traction a little better on exit and pulled back by him, and because he was kind of, his momentum drifted him out of the lane a little bit too much, like it did me the lap before. So,
right.
Yeah, it just kind of happens that way, and happens that way on a lot of, like, flatter racetracks, and that track down there is really flat. So
yep.
Flatter racetracks, it's really easy to just kind of just drift out of the lane, you know. So, luckily, when he passed me, I knew I was in trouble, and I had one play there that it worked, and luckily it worked, and I got back by.
What is the plans for you this year? Are you going to run more World of Outlaws, or are you going to run with the Lucas Oil Late Model Series?
Well, we logistically, running with Lucas makes the most sense for us. We looked at some different things, and, you know, every year is different. You see people move around, you know, between series, and I think a lot of it's just logistics and scheduling. And, you know, for my teammate Tyler Bruning, they're running World of Outlaw because, you know, it just makes so much more sense logistically for them. And on my end, if I run the schedule I normally run, it was looking like 105-6 races and some windows where I'd be gone for 2 months. And if I run with Lucas, it looks like about 88 or 90 races, and I can, you know, after this Florida trip, never no more than 2 weeks away from home. So,
right. So
I would like to run it, but if I'm running bad or something's, you know, not going right, I may shift off of it. But my initial plan is to try to run those races and do that series. Just the money's great. I feel like I can race less for more money. And logistically, it's just way better to Tennessee, you know.
What's it like to run 100 races in a year? Just kind of wrap your head around that a little bit, because, you know, it's very challenging to run that many races a year, right?
It is, yeah. It's you know, I've always tried to make sure the quality was good, and I just didn't focus on the quantity, you know, and I want to run good when I race. And we've just been fortunate, you know, in a lot of years we went out and run, you know, 90, it's pretty common around 95, you know. And, I have run 100 a few times. It's pretty grueling, and you get kind of wore out, but if you're running good, it just clicks off. And a lot of times, you know, for example, we'll go out North Dakota, South Dakota, places like that. It's easier just to lay over somewhere and for a few days and catch a race it's easier to do that than to come home, you know? So a lot of times it seems hard, but it's easier than running 75 and driving back and forth all the time, you know? So it just works out, and we're so lucky now with the streaming and everything they're doing that we can catch these races midweek, or people are scheduling races, you know, on the way to a race or on the way back from a race, and you're able to kind of double dip coming and going a lot of times. So it's really helpful to the finances for the team, and you learn, and, you know, we do this to try to win and be competitive, and, you know, you're always, if you're racing, you're learning, it seems like.
You had a great 10-year run with Roddy Delk. And you stepped into the Skyline Motorsports car at the World Finals last year, didn't seem to miss a beat. Did that even surprise you that you ran so well right out of the gate in this new ride?
Well, no, it didn't. You know, Ronnie and I built something, I feel like, from the ground up that was a pretty strong force, I feel like, in dirt late model racing. And you know, all that knowledge that we gained through the years, you know, I was able to bring with me into this, you know. So and I got Josh and Jerry and Cody, the boys that helped me on Ronnie's team. You know, we all just kind of moved into the Bruning, you know, Skyline team and, you know, took all the advantages of that situation and all the knowledge that we had from all those years with Ronnie and, you know, culminated that into something. So I feel like there's, you know, a potential that we could be even stronger even going forward, you know. So I feel like that, I don't think it surprised us. I think it maybe surprised other people because it's not that common, you know, to fire out there.
It's all about the people, isn't it?
It is. It's more about the people. And even when you're talking about equipment, well, there's people that build that equipment, right? So it still always boils down to the people. And, Ronnie's doing great. You know, me and him remain, you know, good friends still. And his son Jared is, going to start racing a crate car. So I was just talking to Ronnie a couple hours ago about some of that, you know, so we're going to help him get started. And Ronnie's for the first time in a long time actually got a car in his shop at his house. And he's learning the technical kind of side of things and all that. And him and his boys are going to race a little bit together. So Ronnie's, glad to see Ronnie's still going to be able to have some fun with it too. And it's been a good deal, you know, man. It continues to be, you know, a great relationship, you know. So I'm looking forward to helping them. Maybe even this weekend, I'm trying to talk him into going to 411. So if I can talk him into that, I might go crew chief for Ronnie and his son. That'd be fun.
You got some time off, so you got a few weeks before you get back at it, right?
We do, yeah. We were gone 52 days, I think. The hauler left the shop.
Holy cow.
I was back to it. So it was quite a trip. We went out to Votto and then over to Speed Weeks and did all that. So yeah, we're back here. There's a few races we could go to, but we're going to take our time and go through our equipment and figure out, you know, the weather this time of year in this part of the world's, you know, kind of questionable, or not really questionable. You just don't know, can't really make a plan with the weather this time of year. So
yep.
So we got to go to Brownstown for the Lucas stuff here next month, and if there's something that makes sense, we might sneak out of here and go to that. But right now, we're just focusing on the next Lucas event coming up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to have Jacob Allen on here just a little bit later in the show, and we're also going to have Chase Rodman on, and they're all a part of the High Limit Series. And I just don't know what you think about the High Limit Series and the sprint cars. What's your thoughts about racing with those guys week in and week out?
I think it would be a better show for the fans. You know, I love all kinds of racing. My dad's got his hobby stock. I go to the races with my dad when he runs that. My little brother's got a crate car and I go with him when he runs that. So I like it all, but I think from a fan's perspective, you know, if you get a serving of dirt late model, high level dirt late model stuff and high level, you know, whether it be High Limit or World of Outlaw or Lucas or World of Outlaw late models,
right,
you get that kind of pairing together, you got a show.
All right, that's Mike Marler. He picked up $20,000 in his win down there at, what was that racetrack?
Golden Isle Speedway. Yeah, Golden Isle Speedway.
Yep. And we're going to take a break. And we're going to do so we can get in the Jacob Allen interview that we did on Monday as well. So we're going to take a break. Stay tuned for more of Track Talk. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. We'll be back in a moment right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all brought to you by Rod End Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Don't forget, on Monday, we're going to have the World of Outlaw CEO, Brian Carter. He's going to be on with us on Monday. And I also want to give a shout-out to Barry, who's listening in from Mississippi as well.
Welcome, Barry. Jacob Allen won a big high limit sprint car race last Saturday night down at Golden Isle Speedway. On Monday, we spoke with Jacob Allen from Shark Racing on our Mostly Motorsports show, and here's a little bit of that conversation.
He picked up the high limit race down at Golden Isles. He picked up $20,000. Man, that's a big payday, isn't it, Jacob?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep, no doubt about it. Listen, that race was pretty interesting, to say the least. There was a moment when Justin Peck got around you. What was your thoughts going through that time when Justin Peck got back around you?
Just stay focused and hit my marks. Not too much. There's a lot happening in that moment. So I just stay focused, not allow that to affect my race at all. So, I just stayed committed and focused, and that's all I could really say.
Yeah, no doubt. Are you going to be running full-time with the High Limit Series? Is that the plans?
Yep, full-time with the High Limit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Now, what are you going to do with the – they're taking the month of March off. Are you going to run some World of Outlaw races during that time?
Yeah, my plan is to follow the World of Outlaws through the month of March.
Yep, no doubt.
How much did this change your whole attitude and everything, your whole outlook at racing after announcing that you were going to sit out of the race car for a while last year? You come back. How are you changed as a driver, as a person, now that you're back full-time?
I mean, I feel like my attitude feels great. I mean, I don't know if it, changed, this. I don't, the win did not change my attitude or my approach, going into this week. My attitude would be the same as before going into Golden Isles. I'm just, doing, the right steps to be prepared, to be the best that we can be as a team going into each and every race. So, I have some experience with racing and being on the road. So, I know it takes a lot of hard work and, my attitude's great. I feel, excited and happy about racing and, look forward to another year of racing for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, it looks like that you were pretty happy in victory lane. You had to be thrilled about that $20,000 to win on top of that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like the money isn't the thing that comes to my mind, after, we take the checkered or anything like that. I was just glad to have so much fun, racing and battling it out there on the racetrack. It was just a blast. I feel like, racing like that is what, I'm so passionate about racing. It's just exciting. It's an adrenaline rush. You're duking it out in a 900 horsepower race car. So it gets me pumped up and, everybody wants to win, and we were lucky enough to accomplish that. So it felt great as a team to be able to get rewarded for all the hard work, and just the cherry on top is $20,000.
Jacob, with Shark Racing splitting things up, Logan Schuart staying full-time on the World of Outlaws side, you're going full-time High Limit Racing. How does that change the whole operation of Shark Racing with team split up going each direction with High Limit and World of Outlaws this year?
Yeah, I don't know if it really, I guess the obvious is, we're just not, one's on the Outlaw Tour and one's on the High Limit Tour. But really, I don't think it changes, really anything about our race team other than that. Me and Logan communicate all the time, and we know how our operations work, as far as, getting prepared to go to the races and what to do at the racetrack. So I don't feel much of a change really at all other than, we won't be parked next to each other at every race. But, through the entire month of March, we will. And all the big race as we will. And I think if anything, it provides us an opportunity to grow and get better, because we're going to be in two different situations when we're not racing together, and we can, you know, give each other information and talk about things. So I like that. I think that's exciting, but I don't think, you know, too much really changes though.
Listen, I've said this a few times during the show. I'm a little concerned about 410 Racing was making a really big comeback, and it looks like it looks like it's great right now with the High Limit Series and the World of Outlaws, but I'm a little concerned about that could fracture 410 Racing a little bit. What do you think? What's your thoughts about that?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I don't really have too many thoughts about it. I think, you know, what's important to me is that, or what I'm grateful for is that there is a lot of 410 racing to be raced that I can be a part of. But I just focus on myself and my team and showing up to the racetrack and doing the best we can. All that stuff is out of my control, but I'm grateful to be able to race the races that I can, with High Limits and the World of Outlaws and, wherever else I decide to race, and to me that's what I'm grateful for and important. But I can't control, you know, all the other stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
You come from a great family, a great racing family, Alan. Your grandfather and your dad, and just the influence that they have on you as a race car driver to continue this day. The influence that they have on you. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, my dad's, you know, the biggest influence on my racing, and has taught me so much about the business of race, sprint car racing, and the life on the road. And, you know, I've learned a lot from my own experiences being out there. And, but, you know, the root of it all comes from my dad, and the passion of, you know, the passion I've learned to have, you know, comes from my dad. And, you know, I'm very grateful and feel very blessed, and that, you know, my dad is provided me with an opportunity to race full time as a living, and I wouldn't change a thing. I'm you know, I love my dad so much, and I'm thankful every day for the opportunity he's provided, you know, not just me but Logan too, to live out a dream and have a great job as a you know, we're both, you know, I'll be 30 this year. So to be 30 years old, Logan being 30 years old, I mean, it's a real blessing to be able to travel with our family and race at for a living. I mean, not too many people get to live a life like that. So I'm thankful that my dad's provided that for us.
Let's get back to Golden Isle Speedway. They haven't raced wing sprint cars on that track all that much. That's dirt late model country down there. How much of an impact having the Deuces Wild combo, both late models and sprint cars on the same track the same night, approach the track prep, and did it surprise you, track conditions? You ran before the late models the other night, but just how did that all play into your thinking with the late models as part of the show?
And did it take a little rubber there at the end of the race?
I didn't notice any rubber, to be honest, but I thought it was fun to be able to have all the late model drivers there. You know, sprint cars don't get to race with those guys, you know, really ever, it feels like. But to be able to watch guys like Ricky Thornton and Chris Madden and Jonathan, it was, you know, that's cool. You know, it's fun to watch how those guys race and you know, prepare before a race. I like that. It was just fun to kind of look from the outside. And but as far as the track goes, you know, it was a windy day, it was sunny, and they had, you know, at least 40 cars, so yeah, that was going to play a factor for sure on, you know, maybe the track conditions being slicker. I thought that but the track was great. I thought Golden Isles was a really fun track. You know, even before Saturday night, you know, winning the race and all that, it just was fun. It was cool the way it was shaped. It was, you know, it was fast, and I just had a lot of fun racing there, and I'm grateful that we were able to have sprint cars at a track where it's mostly late model racing.
The next high limit race is at the Ditch at West Memphis. Have you raced at Riverside before?
Yeah, I raced an outlaw race there once before. Not sure what year, but we have raced there one time prior.
Right. You know, I don't know if you know anything about the Racing Boys, but Kirk and I, we used to do the live pay-per-view for the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. And let me tell you, when you go to the Ditch is one of those racetracks that really puts on a really good race, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've watched some videos. I've seen some of the Racing Boys, like, highlight videos. And, yeah, I mean, it looks fun. I'm excited to go there. It looks like that area gets a good crowd of people, so I'm sure they'll be excited. And it'll just be fun to get on a little bull ring and you know, just to go racing. You know, I'll be excited for when the high limits picks back up, you know, there for sure.
You've had good success on some of the bull rings. I remember, you know, Chico and some of the other places. You've done pretty well on these kind of racetracks.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, bull rings, they're fun. I mean, yeah, they're something that I look forward to. And you know, we'll just prepare and, you know, whatever ideas we have for a setup, and we'll go there and do the best we can. And, you know, I'll be excited for it. But, you know, as of now, we have a whole month of March to focus to be the best we can be at all the World of Outlaw races. So, it'll be fun to be racing and work on getting better each night and, you know, try to have as much success as we can, you know, with the World of Outlaws. And, well, yeah, when it gets time to race West Memphis, I'm going to be looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be elbows up.
When it comes to our local tracks here, you're going to be racing at Lakeside Speedway and I-70 Speedway. Have you ever raced at those racetracks before?
Yeah, I've ran Lakeside a number of times with the Outlaws. I don't know how many times, but I definitely raced at Lakeside, and I've raced a few times at I-70 as well. Both, you know, fun racetracks. And I look forward to being there. I look forward to being at, you know, any race. You know, I'm excited to race, you know, a bunch this year.
So I assume you're heading back down to Volusia this weekend.
Yeah, we're already, you know, we're down at Ormond Beach right now, actually.
All right, there you have it. That's Jacob Allen, who picked up the win at Golden Isle Speedway. And so
it was great to see him win a race. He always sat out for a number of weeks last year. I don't know, was it burnout issues or whatever, but he took a break from racing
right,
for a while.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he came back, and he looks energized, and he looked really good last Saturday night.
Hey, Kirk, the word came down that Jonathan Davenport is going to be running with the Lucasoil Late Model Dirt Series.
Yeah, he was holding off on a commitment to that. Of course, he ran with, made the top four last year and had a chance to win the championship, so he was going to base it off his performances in the first few weeks of the season down at Florida, so obviously he feels that he's in still a pretty good position to go run for the Lucas Oil Championship. So I guess that's no surprise, Scott, that he'd do that. So I think most people expected that he would probably end up running the full season.
USMTS is going to be running at Rocket Raceway Park, right, as well?
Yes, tonight. And then next weekend, the King of America at Humboldt Speedway. Ryan Ragland will be down there covering it for us, and he'll be helping us out next weekend as well. So
Ryan always does a great job for us as well.
There are tickets available for the CARB Hall of Fame. If you're interested, call 660-229-0952. That's 660-229-0952. It's in a different location this year. It's in Bonner Springs, Kansas, not far from the racetrack, the Kansas Speedway. We put a map on our Facebook page up there. You want to see where it's at out there, but love to see you all out there tonight for the Hall of Fame induction. We're going to talk with J.D. Cormack, one of the inductees, in hour two coming up. Talk more about it.
You'll be talking to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Anyway, we got all that and a full hour exclusively on racingboys.com and YouTube and Facebook pages. So we're just an hour here on Sports Radio 810, but we got two full hours. You can watch it all on our website, racingboys.com.
Racingboys.com, and you can watch it on YouTube as well. So
and Facebook.
Yep, no doubt.
So it's all there.
All right. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Sports Radio 810 WHB. I can't thank you enough. Todd Surprise, always doing a great job for us here. And it does a great job each and every week with the video and all the graphics.
Todd's getting nervous. He's getting nervous.
Hey,
Todd, one week to go.
Did you cut your hair off? You did, didn't you? How about that? Todd,
good for you.
Todd was short hair now.
That's really.
I almost can't even fathom seeing you with short hair, just so you know.
It's a shock to the system.
That's a shock to the system.
Yeah, but you know what, Todd? That just says a lot about you to sacrifice that for your daughter.
Right.
And do that. That's awesome.
No doubt.
For the betterment of the good. Right?
This Saturday, right, Todd?
That's right. Next Saturday.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait to see that. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Track Talk here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's all been brought to you by Rod In Supply, featuring the Power Eye Midwest Lightning Sprints. Coming up in hour number two, Chase Rodman is going to be joining us on Track Talk. So we hope that you'll join us hour number two. You can watch it on Facebook. You can watch it on YouTube as well. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate you.